right, we're moving on now to the next sugya of Maseches Brachos. The next sugya of Maseches Brachos I want to do is not really a halachic sugya, but a lot of interesting points come out halacha l'maisa from really what turns out to be an agadah to Gemara. The Gemara tells us on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph toward the bottom of the page of Maseches Brachos that Amar Rabbi Yossi Pamachas Yisi Mahalich Bederech. Rabbi Yossi says at one time he was traveling. V'nichnasti l'churba archos mechurvas Yerushalayim l'spalel, and he went into a churva to daven, some ruins somewhere to daven. Ba'el yo zachar latov v'shamali ala Pesach, and Eliyahu Navi went and protected Rabbi Yossi, guarding the door for him, and he waited ad shesiyamti tefilasi, until I finished my tefillah. La'achas shesiyamti tefilasi amali Shalom Alecha Rebbe. And when I finish my tefillah, it's pretty good. If you get Eliyahu HaNavi to say, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, you're doing pretty well in life. Amarti lo, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. Not to be outdone, he says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori to Eliyahu HaNavi. Amrli, B'ni, Mipreima Nechnas to L'chur B'zu. Eliyahu HaNavi seems disappointed in him. Why did you go into this churva? Amarti lo, L'spalel. What do you mean, where did I go? I went to Davin, didn't you see? Well, you should have davened while you were traveling. Why did you have to go into the churva? You know how distracting that is? To daven when you're on the road? You ever try to daven on a plane? And you know, there are people trying to get by in the aisles. And you can't daven that way. I didn't say you should daven the whole thing. Do an abridged version of tefillah, and then you could daven on the derech, and that would be fine. Says Rabbi Yossi, with that conversation with Eliyahu HaNavi, I learned three things. How long did that conversation take? What, 30 seconds maybe? He said, I learned three major halachas. I remember when I was in 10th grade, my Rebbe was Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, and he, at the beginning of the year, he had driven Rav Shechter somewhere. I don't know where. I think it was from like Teaneck to YU or something like that. It was like a 15-minute ride. For the rest of the year, he was quoting Rav Shechter from that car ride. So sometimes you speak to big people, you can get a lot, even out of a short conversation. So he says, I learned three things from Eliyahu HaNavi in that conversation. Number one, Lamadti shein nechnasin l'churva. I learned that you're not supposed to go into a churva, it's a dangerous place. Number two, Lamadti shein mispalin b'derech, that it's not so bad to daven on the road. If you're traveling, you could daven on the road. And number three, Lamadti shein mispalin b'derech, mispalin tefillah k'tzara. If you're going to daven on the road, then daven a shorter tefillah, daven an abridged version of the tefillah. But then the conversation continues. Va'amar li b'ni, Ma kol shamata b'chur v'zu. Eliyahu HaNavi starts interviewing Rabbi Yossi. While you were there, you're in this churva, what did you hear? What was going on? V'amarti lo shamati bas kol shemenahemes kiyona v'omeres. I heard a heavenly voice that was groaning like a dove. You imagine doves would chirp and sing. Groaning like a dove and was saying, Oy lebanim shabavanoseim echrafti as beisi v'sarafti as eichali v'glisim lebeinu umos. Woe unto my children, unto the Bnei Israel, that I had to destroy my Beis Hamikdash, I had to burn my Heichal, I had to exile them amongst the other nations of the world. V'amr li Eliyahu HaNavi says, ah, that's what you heard. Chayecha v'chayei roshcha. By golly, I don't know if it's the best translation to come up with. Lo sha'azubel vad omeres kach. It's not only while you were in the churva that the Baskol says that. Ela b'chol yom v'yom shalosh pa'amim omeres kach. There's a heavenly voice that says that three times a day. V'lo zubel vad. And it's not only that. Ela b'shosh she'yisrael nechnas l'batek nesiyos l'batek midrashas v'onin yehei shmei ha'gadol mevorach. Here's a key line. When Klal Yisrael enters batek nesiyos and batek midrashas, and they say, Yehei Shmei Hagadol Mivorach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Minanei Rosh of Omer, God shakes his head and says, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekal Sinoso Bebeso Kach. Fortunate is a king who gets praised this way in his house. Malo La'av Shehiglas Banav. Why did I have to send them into Golos? Va'oilem L'banim Shegolim El Shulchan Avihem. Woe unto them that they were sent off from Shulchan Avihem. Rashi says, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying at the end of here? Ashrei HaMelech Shemekal Chanoso Bebeso Kach. Fortunate is a king who gets praised this way. Bebeso, in his home, says Rashi, Ashrei Kozman Shehaya Kiluzeh B'toch Beis HaMikdash. That when this was in the Beis HaMikdash, that was really great. So what essentially is happening is that Rabbi Yossi heard the Shechina groaning about how terrible it is that Klal Yisrael is not in the Beis HaMikdash, But Eliyahu HaNavi says to him, you should know that the way to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to want to bring back the Beis HaMikdash is to say magic words. What are the magic words? What did the Gemara say? Yehi Shmei Rabban Baruch. Except it doesn't say Yehi Shmei Rabban, it says it has slightly different words. Yehi Shmei HaGadol Mivarach. When you say Yehi Shmei HaGadol Mivarach, it makes Hashem want to bring back the Beis HaMikdash. That's what's going on. So a couple of points over here. What I think are somewhat interesting points. First of all, Rashi makes an assumption that Klal Yisrael goes into Batik Nesios, and we say Yehi Shmei HaGadol Mivarach, and Hashem says, wow, fortunate is the king who gets blessed this way in his home. Now, simple reading of the Gemara. What home is that referring to? What? So that's how Rashi understands. I thought, what does it describe? In the shul. The Jews go into the shuls, they go into the Batik Nesios, they say, Yehi Shmei HaGadol Mivarach, and Hashem's response is, wow, how fortunate the king is that gets praised this way in his home. And they're such wonderful children, it's too bad I had to send them to Golos. That's like a separate statement, right? That they're acting so nicely, they're saying such nice things. Too bad I had to send them to Golos. But Rashi somehow learns from this Gemara that there's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, even though it doesn't say it. It says that they went into the shul. Where does he get the idea that it's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash? So I thought that he gets the idea very simply based on the following idea that I heard from Mori Robert of Shechter many times, and it's printed in his Sefer Eretz Tzvi Simen Yud Beis Os Beis in the name of Rav Salvechik. See, there is a concept the Gemara Megillah talks about called a Mikdash Ma'at. What is a Mikdash Ma'at? A shul is a Mikdash Ma'at. A Beis Medrash is a Mikdash Ma'at in some way. Now, in what sense is a shul a Mikdash Ma'at? Meaning, it's a shul. It's a great thing. It's a holy place. What makes it a miniature Beis HaMikdash? Meaning you have to have a basis for comparison to assume that it's like a Beis HaMikdash, but it's like a mini Mikdash. So what qualifies it as a Mikdash Ma'at? It happens to be Rav Asher Weiss has a whole essay where he goes through 11 commonalities between a Mikdash and a Mikdash Ma'at and a Beis HaKnesses structurally. How structurally the Beis HaKnesses is meant to mimic the Mikdash, the Bima Be'emtza and everything. There are so many details that reflect that connection. And Rav Shechter Eretz HaTzvi in that piece in Simen Yud Beis also shows that deep connection between a Mikdash and a Mikdash Ma'at. But fundamentally, if I sent you the Makoros, right? So fundamentally, what he writes is that both the Mishkan and the Mikdash and the Beis HaKnesses, they're all meeting places between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The difference between a Mikdash and a Mikdash Ma'ad is that a Mikdash is we're going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. Mikdash Ma'ad is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's coming to our house. And that's reflected in the difference of halachos. When you go to a Beis HaMikdash, the level of kavod you have to show when you go to a Beis HaMikdash versus the level of kavod when you go to a shul. For example, you're not allowed to have a wallet in the Beis HaMikdash. You're allowed to have a wallet in shul. Rekika, spitting, is asr in the Mikdash, is mutter in shul. Shoes, asr in the Mikdash, mutter in shul. Right? But there are certain things that are asr in both. Kapandari, you're not allowed to make a shortcut out of either one. So if Salvechik thought that the difference is that you have to act. When you have a very chashuva guest come to your house, you act with a certain level of dignity. When you go to their house, you're terrified. When you go to their house, you're acting with mikdash tiro. It's a total different. It's an entirely different level of discomfort almost, that you have this fear, and therefore higher levels of requirement of kavod. But if that is so discorrect, in fact, Rav Shechter points out in Pnine Arav, I just mentioned Temen Alechshe this morning, Rav Shechter points out that probably whatever you'd be makbid about in your house, you should be makbid about in shul. Meaning if you wouldn't walk around your house in wet boots, you shouldn't walk around in shul in wet boots. And he says, and like for example, a lot of times people when they're in shul, especially once they get Fitbits, they start like pacing a lot because they need to get all their steps. So they're walking around and they just can't sit still. So they're walking up and down the aisles. He says, imagine you have someone over at your house and they're like walking around the house, like opening up doors, looking in the bedrooms, and like that's not acceptable. It's not socially acceptable behavior. You can't do that. So you probably shouldn't do that in the shul either. You go to shul daven, you sit in daven, you stay in your makom when you daven. But I thought that based on that idea, that maybe is where Rashi is being medayik this in the Gemara, that the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comments that how fortunate is the king, Asher Melech Shemekalsin Oso Bibeso Kach. Bibeso, that's Rashi's deal. It's his house. When we talk about the Mikdash Mat, it's not his house. It's our house when he comes to visit us. So it's just a simple Ha'ara. I thought that's what he might be referring to. Another Ha'ara. Tosos over here notes the similarity of phrase. Yeheshme Gadol Mevarach is obviously paraphrasing what we say in Kaddish, which is Yeheshme Rabba Mevarach. Now, it's important to, it's a very critical Tosos because it's a very important phrase of davening, Yeheshme Rabba. It may be the most important phrase of davening. And we have to know what it means. And Tosos says it's a real big machlokas, what that phrase even means. Yeheshme Rabbim Varach Le'olam L'olam L'olam Maya. What does that mean? What's the type? So says Tosos. Well, note first of all, the Gemara says Yeheshme Gadol Mevarach. Does not say Le'olam. It stops it before Le'olam, which indicates that whatever the phrase means, the comma should probably be before Le'olam, right? That Le'olam would seem to be like another phrase. Says Tosos, what's going on over here? He says, Mikan Yesh Listar. This Gemara seems to be against how the Machzor Vitri translates Yeheshmei Rabba. The Machzor Vitri writes that Yeheshmei Rabba is a tefillah sha'anu mispalulin sheyemalei shemo. It's a tefillah that we daven that Hashem should fill his name. What does it mean, fill his name? You know, Gemara Megillah says, that calls man that Amalek is around, the Shem Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Shalem. Ki yad al keis ka, yud and hey, but not the full yud ke vav ke. It's only last lover when we're machre zara shalamalek that the Shem Hashem is going to be in its full glory again. It's going to be a complete Shem Hashem. So we're saying Yehei Shmei Rabba, it's a tefillah that Shmei meaning Shem yud ke. Those are actually two different words. Shmei is not his name, it's Shem yud ke, will once again be Rabba. So that's what we're davening, that it should be Rabba. So it's Yeheshme Rabba. Then how does Mevorach fit in? Says the Machzor Vitri, it's Yeheshme Rabba, let the Shem Ka be Rabba again. Kama Mevorach Le'olam L'olam Elmaya. Separate tefillah, be blessed forever and ever. A totally different tefillah. Says Tosfos, that's how the Machzor Vitri touches it. He's wrong, Tosfos says. You see, he's wrong from our Gemara. Because the Gemara says, Yeheshme Gadol Mevarach. So first of all, he's wrong on both counts. First, it's not Yeheshme Rabba, let the name be big. Yeheshme Gadol, let the name be big. Yeheshme HaGadol, let his already great name, Mevarach. What are we davening? Let the name that's already great be blessed. So the Mevarach is part of the phrase. Machzor Vitri says it's Yeheshme Ka Rabba. Let the Shem Ka be Rabba, and then next phrase Mevarach Le'olam Olmaya. So it says no. From the Gemara, you see, it's Yeheshme Agadol Mevarach. Let the great name be blessed. Aye, what do we say? And when we say Le'olam Olmaya, let that happen forever and ever. That the whole phrase should be forever and ever. That's one half of Tosos, a critical just definition of the terms. And then Tosos says something also surprising. He says, you know, when we say Kaddish, we're not speaking Hebrew. Kaddish is all in Lashon Aramis, it's in Aramaic, and that's unique to our tefillos. How many tefillos do we have in Lashon Aramis? What are they?
Ruch Shmei. We have in the Bo Tzion, we have a small piece.
Right. Right. So, and Kaddish. Right. Kaddish. So, Tosfos, why? Why would Kaddish be in Lashon Aramis? So says Tosfos, because Lefi Shetvila Na'a V'Shevach Gadol Hu. Because it's the most beautiful, amazing tefillah, and it's such a great praise. You see, this is what makes Hashem say that I wish I didn't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So this is like big stuff. So that's why it's in Aramis. What? Why is that? Al kein nitkan b'loshon targum shelo yavinu hamalachim v'yu miskanim banu, Tosfos says. Because if we would say it in Hebrew, the malachim would understand it and they'd get jealous of us. In order that the malachim shouldn't understand what we're saying, and shouldn't get jealous of us, we say it in a language that they don't understand. Tosfos then says, but I don't really get that, because there are a lot of really beautiful tefillos that we have in Hebrew, and somehow the Malachim don't get jealous of us with regard to that, with regard to those other tefillos. But you can understand why this shita exists, because yeah, there are a lot of beautiful tefillos, but how many of them are so effective that it causes the Kodesh Baruch Hu to say, I wish I didn't send my children into Galus and I want to rebuild my Beis HaMikdash? So if you have such a beautiful tefillah that is such an impactful tefillah up in Shemayim, we don't want the Malachim to get jealous of us. Now Tosfos is making an assumption. That we can get around the Malachim and the Malachim won't understand if only we speak in Aramaic. Where does he get that from? That Malachim don't speak Lashon Aramis. So this is a Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos Taf Yud Beis says that Malachim are in a Mevinim B'Lashon Aramis. Tosos in Shabbos Taf Yud Beis says, Ein Malachim Yashur's Makirin B'Lashon Arami. Tosos over there says, Levad Mi Gavriel, with the exception of Gavriel, who has to speak Lashon Arami. Where does he get that from? Gavriel has to speak Lashon Arami? You know the story, right? The Gemara in Sota says, Yosef was looking for his brothers, and he can't find them. So the Chumash says, finds an Ish, directs him. Who's that Ish? Says the Gemara in Sota, Gavriel. And what did Gavriel teach him while they were talking? Shivim Lashon. He taught him 70 languages. Well, how could Gavriel teach Yosef 70 languages if he doesn't speak Arami? So Gavriel's the one exception. He's the Malach that gets to speak Lashon Arami. That's what Tosfos says. But then Tosfos says, I have a kasha. He says, V'tema, ta'afilu machshava shebelev kol adam yodim, v'lashon arami ein yodim? What's his kasha? He says, how could it be that Malachim don't speak Lashon Arami? Afilu machshava shebelev kol adam yodim, v'lashon arami ein yodim? Malachim know our thoughts. If they know our thoughts, how could they not know Lashon Arami? Any problems with that kasha? No issues. Totally good with that kasha? What? Yeah. Who says Malachim know our thoughts? He's making an assumption that Malachim know our thoughts, right? Does it say that in a Gemara anywhere? No. There's no Gemara in Shas that I'm aware of that says that the Malachim know our thoughts. So what's he talking about? He's making an assumption. Oh, Malachim, they know our thoughts. So how could they not speak Lashon Arami? And second, let's say they do know our thoughts. Let's say I'm a mind reader. I could read what's going on in your mind right now, let's say. Right? Does that mean I speak Chinese? These are two totally different skills. What does one have to do with the other? Because they know our thoughts, it means that they speak Lashon Arami? Yeah, well, you understand that part of it is going to be in Aramaic, from like the whole thing in Aramaic, right? That doesn't bother me that much, but right, and that might tip them off also. If like in the middle we just switched, hey, what did you just say? You know, your parents are talking, all of a sudden they switch to Yiddish for like a second. Like, hey, what's going on? I don't know if you have that. Your parents probably don't speak Yiddish. My parents, you know, previous generation. So anyway, So what do we do with this? What's Tosfos? So okay, the second question is not really such a question. If they could read our thoughts, it probably means they could that they're mevinim b'lashon arami. Why? Not that they're mevinim b'lashon arami, but thoughts are beyond language. Meaning, language is a way of crystallizing and expressing that which we're thinking. Right? Language comes later. First we have the thought, the idea, and then we express it through words. If they know our thoughts, then it's irrelevant what language we want to express those thoughts in, because they already got it before you even put it into language. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like me and a guy who speaks only Chinese, we'll look at this room and we'll think the same things about it. Nice big ceilings, nice, lot of black chairs, right? We'll see all the same things. The way we express it will be different, but if you already could read it in our minds before we express it, you get it before you get to language. So it's not that they understand Lashon Aramis, but those are saying, how are you going to get around them if you're having any kavana during Yehi Shmei Rabba? They already got it. Right, they already got what you're saying, even if they don't technically speak Lashon Aramis. So that kasha maybe is not such a kasha. What about the first kasha? That where does Tosfos get this from? That Malachim know our thoughts. That's a pretty frightening thing. So in fact, Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in his Hagos over there that Tosfos is wrong. It doesn't say it anywhere in Shas. Malachim don't know our thoughts. Martzchayis says, no, of course Malachim know our thoughts. Because anybody with Ruach HaKodesh would know our thoughts. How does he know this? He says, I saw in the El Yerabba, in Or HaChaim Sim Kofalev, who quotes from the Tos Yantif in Madane Melech, this Kasha, and he writes, Keodea Beruach HaKodesh Makir Masha B'libo Shal Adam Kamo Shabatzinu Berivka Vayomer Esav B'libo. What's his raya? What's that case? Shabatzinu Berivka Vayomer Esav B'libo. That is not by the womb. This is Rivka's helping Yaakov steal the brachos, and Rivka helps Yaakov steal the brachos. Esav wants to kill Yaakov. Who did Esav tell that he wanted to kill Yaakov? Nobody, because he had kibud avim. He would never distress his parents that way. He was going to wait for them to die. Vayomer Esav b'libo. Esav said in his heart, "Yikrevu yimei evel avi. When my father dies, I'm going to go after Yaakov. I'm going to kill him." Rivka realized that was Esav's plan. How did she realize? He never told anyone. Because she saw Beruach HaKodesh. So you see that a person with Ruach HaKodesh is able to read someone's thoughts. So if someone with Ruach, if a human being with Ruach HaKodesh is able to read someone's thoughts, Kal v'chomer Malach is able to read someone's thoughts. And he says, furthermore, Megillah Dav Zayin, Gemara has seven sheetos, how we know that Megillah's Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. That's what you want to say? You could argue that this is incorrect, that Rivka was clever enough to figure out, but I think Chazal say that it was Beruach HaKodesh. And the Gemara over there said, according to one sheet in the Gemara there, that's how we know Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh. So if you have that sheet, so that Beruach HaKodesh, you would know the Machshava Shabalev, the Gemara, because it's Vayomer Haman Belibo, it says Megillah Dav Zayin, that Haman was plotting in his heart. So how do we know what Haman was plotting in his heart? So it must be that the Megillah Esther was written Baruch Chodesh, that whoever wrote the Megillah knew what Haman was plotting. However, he says, it's a tzarachiyon that we find in Tefillah Shlomo, that Shlomo Melech says, Ki ata levadcha yadata slevav ha'adam. Shlomo says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ata levadcha yadata slevav ha'adam. Only you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, know what's in a person's heart. Yirmiyahu, also, Ani Hashem Choker Lev. Hashem is Choker Lev. No one else is Choker Lev. So it seems that it's at least controversial, this assumption that Tosfos has, that Malachim could read our thoughts, that Malachim know what's going on in our minds. I saw someone wanted to bring a raya, one of the Achronim wanted to bring a raya from what the Gemara says in Bar Metzia by Avram and Sarah, that what was it that Ayei Sarah Ishtecha? The Malachim asked, "Where's Sarah?" So one of the Achronim wanted to say, they obviously didn't know. They couldn't just read Avram's mind and know where she was. So obviously, they didn't know where Sarah was. So obviously, they don't know. But Luchara, that's a right the other way. Because what does the Gemara actually say? That why did they ask Ayei Sarah Ishtecha? Because they knew exactly where she was, and they wanted to remind Avram, "Look what a tzenua she is. Hinei ba'ohel, that she's in the ohel." So the fact that the Gemara knew to make that drasha, meaning the Gemara is assuming that they already knew where Sarah was. How did they already know where Sarah was? It must be because they can see things. They know things. And that's why it must be when they said, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, they were not actually asking where Sarah was. So a fascinating discussion, just in general, whether Malachim could read a person's thoughts. It's also a fascinating discussion in Rishonim, whether Malachim, in fact, what Malachim do and do not understand. I mean, the Gemara says that they're ein mavina b'lashon arami. What does that mean? Do they speak Chinese? Do they speak English? We know they speak Lashon HaKodesh, right? Probably. That would make sense. When we say ein mavina b'lashon arami, the Rush and the Seches Brachos in the second parak quotes machlokas, whether it's that they don't speak anything but Lashon HaKodesh, even Lashon Arami? Or they dafka don't speak Lashon Arami? Why would it be even Lashon Arami? What is that? What's unique about Lashon Arami as opposed to, let's say, English? Well, certainly we have much of our tradition is in Lashon Arami. It's also very similar to Lashon HaKodesh. So, like, you know, if you speak a certain dialect of a language, it's easier for you to pick up another dialect of that same language. So when we say the Malach HaSharis Arein Mavina B'Lashon Rami, it's that, of course, they don't speak Chinese or English or anything like that. That has nothing to do with Lashon HaKodesh. But even Lashon Rami, which is so similar, even that they don't speak. You know, I just read in Jewish Action, the latest Jewish Action, so the Rav Belsky Zichron Levracha, when Russians moved into his community, when Russian Jews moved into the community where he lived, he wanted to be able to connect with them, Jewish people. He wanted to be able to be makari with them and talk to them and connect with them. So he taught himself Russian in two different dialects. And he spoke fluent Russian in two different dialects to be able to relate to. It's pretty special, no? So, okay, anyway. So that's one shita in Rishonim, that they don't speak anything except for Lashon HaKodesh. And the other shita in Rishonim is that it's dafka Lashon Arami that they don't speak. Why would it be dafka Lashon Arami? So, perhaps for the same reason. Because Lashon Arami is a corruption of Lashon HaKodesh, it could be that they're very turned off by it. You know, like the French don't like Flemish. You know, like something that's like a similar language, but is like a corruption of your language, you find to be distasteful. So maybe it means, but if that's the case, it might mean that they just don't like it, not that they don't understand it. That maybe, like, people who speak Yiddish can pick up a lot of German, but they can't stand it if they're, let's say, my grandparents, survivors of, you know, the Holocaust, they couldn't stand German. They understood every single word of it, but they pretended not to, because it's of what it reminded them of, obviously, but it's such a similar language to Yiddish that they were able to understand it. The Rosh also mentions that the Malachim bring our tefillos, which seems to be against the Rambam's fifth principle. Okay, that's also a different discussion to be had. The last thing to discuss, we don't really have time for it, but there's also an interesting discussion to be had about Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed, and the role of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed. Why would I mention that over here? What does Yehi Shmei Rabban Baruch essentially mean? Right? You know, according to the way Tosfos is translating it, is Yehi Shmei Agadol Mevarach is like a translation, the Aramaic translation of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Va'ed. So we've been discussing the past couple of days about Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim. And we said, for sure, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim. It's a very interesting discussion in Achronim whether Baruch Shem Kavod Malch Shemayim that is a critical part of Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim. Meaning, is one Mekayim Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim with just Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad? Or do you need to also say Baruch Shem Kavod Malch Shemayim that as part of that Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim? Those Shitos and Rishonim that said only Pasuk Rishon is Daraisa, and others said no, even Ve'ahavta. So what did Pasuk Rishon mean? Did Pasuk Rishon just mean Shema, and those who say Ve'ahavta say Baruch Shem plus Ve'ahavta? Or does Pasuk Rishon mean Shema and Baruch Shem and everything else Ve'ahavta? If you look in Rav Yonason Sachs's Sefer Orchos Yamim Simen Dalit, he has a whole piece on that topic, but we're out of time for today. Yashar Koach.